25-1006, Citizens for Constitutional Integrity versus the United States. Mr. Pettinato.
Yes, Your
Did I
Honor.
get the right name? Did I pronounce it anywhere close to right?
That was very, very, that was excellent pronunciation. Thank you, Your Honor. Yes.
Okay.
Not common.
You may begin. May
Thank you,
begin.
Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Jared Pettinato, and I represent Citizens for Constitutional Integrity and Southwest Advocates Incorporated. I would like to request 2 minutes for rebuttal. Citizens seek reversal and remand for the district court finally to rule on the merits of their SMCRA, Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act claims. With the benefit of the clarity provided by this court, citizens amended their complaint to add arbitrary and capricious claims and to refine their citizen suit claims. The district court erroneously dismissed the arbitrary and capricious claims for failure to exhaust administrative remedies. OSMRE, though, held a secret administrative appeals process, and the district court never ruled on citizens' citizen suit claims. Once in southwestern Colorado, the King II mine had 7 employees and produced about 7,000 tons of coal. GCC bought it, and now it looms over the Hesperus community. It employs 140 people and produces almost 1 million tons of coal every year. GCC consumes water from the La Plata River by spraying it on the coal face during mining to suppress coal dust. GCC bought water rights from a nearby farm, but GCC and OSMRE violated OSMRE's regulations. OSMRE does not know how much groundwater the mine is intercepting. It does not know how much surface water the mine is using, and OSMRE cannot protect the health and safety of the public without that information. So the district court erred by concluding citizens failed to exhaust their administrative remedies. OSMRE held a secret administrative appeals process and thwarted citizens from participating. 5 times, citizens requested OSMRE to send them a copy of the permit approval
First
for the
four
then manager.
times there had been no approval, right?
For the
It was only the
first few
fifth one,
times,
the first four times.
I think only 2 or 3 times, Your Honor, we requested one during the permit approval, and we requested one after. I have the timeline right here on page 25 of my brief. So, two requests before the approval, and then three after. One
Okay.
during the administrative appeals process, and then two after.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, citizens did not, OSMRE did not give that document to citizens until 11 months after the administrative appeal period closed. So the law does not require exhaustion of unavailable processes. The district court first misapprehended the order of events. Second, it failed to require OSMRE to prove its affirmative defense. And third, Section 1264 gave citizens a right to bring their claim directly in court. So on the order of events, the district court found citizens received notice of the permit approval. It's wrong on the timing. DOJ sent the wrong document and sent it too late. It sent the Mineral Leasing Act plan approval, but citizens sought the SMCRA permit approval. And DOJ sent that 3 weeks after the appeal period had already closed. OSMRE does not dispute that citizens had no notice in time to participate in the administrative appeal. Second, on the lack of notice, the district court flipped the burden of proof to require citizens to prove that they did not receive notice in time. But the exhaustion of administrative remedies is an affirmative defense. So OSMRE bore the burden of establishing the administrative process was available, failed to carry its burden, failed to prove it provided notice on time to allow citizens to administratively appeal. And it does not dispute that here. Southwest Advocates, in the meantime, made comments during the scoping period, during the comment period on the draft environmental assessment to both OSMRE and the Bureau of Land Management. They commissioned expert reports on water and noise impacts. They participated in the La Plata County.
All in the comments to the environmental assessment, right?
Yes, Your Honor. They've
Okay.
sent all of this is on that docket number. Yes, sir.
And where in the comments to the environmentalists, or where in those comments did Citizens or Southwest ever say that the permit for the OSMRE for GCC should be denied?
Well, Your Honor, I don't know if they, I think they literally said that. I don't have that at my fingertips.
Well, I
But
don't,
they
they may have. I didn't see it, and I don't remember you addressing that in your briefing, but I may have overlooked it. But you're representing that they did in the comments specifically ask for the denial of a permit to,
I believe so, Your Honor. Yes, I believe they. I can provide particular citations after the argument. I believe they're at App 2 App 171 to 173. That's my recollection, and I can provide. I'll provide Your Honors with citations. But they objected, and just to be clear, OSMRE treats comments and objections as the same, since it could be difficult to differentiate.
yeah, but the what I'm trying to get at, Mr. Pettinato, is the document is not an application for a permit. It's a document that's called an environmental assessment. And the comments were critical of the environmental assessment and arguing that there was a significant, that there needed to be an environmental impact statement, not an environmental assessment. But that is a different regulatory requirement than it is for the grant of a permit to a specific entity, GCC. Those were
Your Honor, those are.
two, environmental assessment was different than from the application for a permit. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, Your Honor, those. Well, all of those. Congress intended NEPA in particular to be part of the decision-making process for agencies everywhere. That is why it wrote NEPA. And so if you look at the EA itself, if you look at the bottom, it specifically mentions the docket number for. For this permit, and it says Dunn Ranch Coal Lease by application COC 78825. And so that is the EA is and the NEPA process are part of that administrative process for determining that approval.
I understand that.
So of course Your Honor, the because the citizens never received notice of the administrative appeal. And because OSMRE didn't prove that notice, they lose. The party that who bears the burden of proof loses if the record is inconclusive on the critical point. So OSMRE loses on its administrative is affirmative defense of the failure to exhaust. And that would require the court to reach the merits of these claims. The Smacker's text also allows citizens to bring their claim directly in court, section 1264. Gives them a right because OSMRE failed to provide timely notice. And at bottom, due process prohibits OSMRE from holding a secret administrative appeal, giving no notice, and precluding lawsuits when citizens do not participate in the secret appeal. For those reasons, the district court's error requires remand to rule on the merits. The district court also erred by dismissing citizen suit claims. The district court misunderstood its assignment. Never interpreted or applied the SMACRA provisions on which citizens relied for their citizen suit claims. It held that the court was bound by the rulings of the Tenth Circuit, and it was referencing Citizens One, written by Your Honor, Judge Hartz, but appellate rulings on motions for preliminary relief do not bind lower courts. And that fundamental error led the district court to hold wrongly that this court. That the Tenth Circuit has specifically rejected the arguments that plaintiffs make. That cannot be true. We amended our complaint after Citizens One came out. We added new provisions from SMACRA, and those are the ones that we briefed and on which we sought relief. So the district
It's
court.
true for two of the three provisions you rely on, 1268 and 1271. I don't recall you amending to add 1211. 1211 was always in the case, right? And
Yes,
so
that's.
you know So your argument applies to 1268 and 1271, but would you acknowledge that the reliance on Section 1211 can't be considered because that was in the case prior to Judge Hartz's prior panel opinion?
Well, Your Honor, I agree that that was in our complaint. Judge Hartz's opinion didn't address 1211. So on the substance of the opinion, it says that we are addressing these provisions. It didn't address 1211, and that was in part because we didn't argue it at that point, and we brought it forth in briefing later. But at bottom,
But you certainly could have argued it.
we could have, Your Honor. What at some level, regardless of all of that, the Citizens One case is only on the likelihood of success on the merits.
Fair.
So the district court
Okay.
still has to address the claims that we've made. And that is why we're seeking here mainly for remand. We think the district court didn't address the merits of our arbitrary and capricious claims. It didn't address the merits of our citizen suit claims. And this court has held that when it identifies legal error, it remands to the district court to apply the legal standards to the facts of the case in the first instance. And that's consistent with what Congress assigned, and it assigned the district court to make those rulings first. So here we're mainly seeking remand. But even if this court addresses the merits, it would conclude that OSMRE arbitrarily and capriciously approved the permit because it lacked groundwater baseline information and miscalculated the surface water usage. So
If you're talking about
OSMRE.
your 1276 claim, okay,
Correct.
before you go back to the 1276 claim from the citizen suit provision, on the citizen suit provision, do you agree that we can only consider your argument for a violation of non-discretionary duties if we consider the notice of intent to sue as a demand that OSMRE comply with its unambiguous duties under 1211, 1268, and 1271.
Well, Your Honor, we
It's sort of like
provided the
writ of
facts.
mandamus. You have to say, agency, I want you to do what you're required to do, a non-discretionary duty, right?
Well, we did not have to identify the statutes. We identified
Fair.
the
The substance.
basis and the factual substance, and that is
And
enough.
the notice of intent to sue relies only on the stream protection rule, right? The notice of intent to sue, I never see anything, even regarding this, certainly never a citation to 1211, 1268, or 1271, nor do I see anything about the substance of it. I do see a lot of discussion about the stream protection rule, which is no longer in the case. So why did you provide adequate notice to trigger the duty to comply with its non-discretionary duties under these three provisions?
Yes, Your Honor, we went beyond the stream protection rule for parts C and D of the 60-day notice, and that's where we objected to groundwater notice and diversions of groundwater and groundwater monitoring, and we made specific references to this OSMRE's approval of the diversion of the water,
For
and those are.
1268.
We didn't mention the statutes in particular.
No, but that's what you're referring to.
Yes. And I think 1271A is really, I'd like to reserve a little time for rebuttal, but 1271A presents our best citizen suit claim. And that's because it requires an inspection upon someone giving OSMRE a reason to believe that there is a SMACRA violation. And our 60-day notice gave OSMRE that reason to believe. That is an objective determination whether you have a reason to believe. If it's frivolous, of course, that's not enough. But as long as it provides some evidence, that requires an inspection. I'd like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we're ready to hear from Mr. Torstensson.
Mr. Torstensson, thank you.
Torstensson, okay.
Good
Okay.
morning. May it please the court, Peter Torstensson for the federal defendants. This court should reject this attempt by appellants, or Citizens for short, to revive its shape-shifting challenge to GCC Energy's permit revision application for the Dunn Ranch expansion. After this court denied Citizens' request for a preliminary injunction in Citizens 1, finding that the agency had carried out all the duties required by SMCRA, Citizens amended its complaint to add claims that it concedes are the same claims based on the same facts. But the statutory provisions Citizens relies on now are an even worse fit than they were than the ones they relied on in Citizens 1. This court should affirm the district court for two reasons. First, Citizens failed to exhaust administrative remedies as required to bring a claim under Section 1276A2. Even if the court excuses Citizens' failure, its claims failed because the agency reasonably concluded that GCC's proposed operations will prevent material damage to the hydrologic balance. Second, Citizens' pre-suit notice was defective and failed to identify a violation that could compel the agency to bring an enforcement action under SMCRA's citizen suit provisions. Starting with the failure to exhaust, in Citizens 1, this court said that Citizens likely did not bring a claim to review the agency's discretionary decisions because it failed to comply with the prerequisites to filing suit under 1276A2. It was right. Citizens does not seriously contest that it failed to request a formal hearing under Section 1264C after participating as an objector in the permit review process. Instead, it argues that it is excused from compliance because it didn't receive direct notice and it engaged with the agency in other ways.
So are you contending they had actual notice?
They in their in the notice of intent to sue, which is at I believe it's a one app 15 or 17 to 22, they indicate that they had received the mining plan approval document and within that the permit approval decision. So they did at least by January of 2021 have actual notice of the permit decision.
But they had 30, and I think that's consistent with counsel's timeline in his brief. But they had 30 days under your rule, but your position is you had no duty to provide them notice. And I'm just wondering, I mean, how can they ever exhaust if you don't have a duty to notify them and they didn't, and the record's unclear as to when they have actual notice?
So they do have a duty to exhaust, and obviously the timeline kicks in for 30 days from the point.
How can they exhaust within 30 days if there's no evidence they had notice of the permit approval?
Well, there's evidence that they had actual notice of the permit approval, and as you know, the timeline lays out in the record, it is true that they received that after the 30 days would have run, but the answer there is seeking to excuse the delay on the fact that they did not receive the actual notice until after the 30-day period elapsed. But I don't think the answer is to sidestep that the effort to pursue administrative remedies entirely.
So what's your authority for that? That when somebody has a duty to exhaust, but they don't receive actual notice within the time to exhaust, that they must then seek to file something out of time?
Well, I think it's important here to note that the citizens never took steps to participate in the process, either by requesting an informal conference under Section 1264 or 63B, or commenting on the applications that would have entitled it to direct notice of the permit decision. So because they weren't entitled to direct notice of the permit decision, the fact that they did not receive it within the time doesn't excuse them of their obligation to comply with the statutory timeline.
If they had commented on the permit application, then you would have had an obligation to notify them promptly within the 30-day period, correct?
Correct.
Why
Yes.
doesn't the environmental assessment, in effect, the comments in response to the environmental assessment, in effect, constitute comments proposing denial of GCC's application, because on the very first page 101, the environmental assessment says that it analyzes the effect of, quote, permit revision to GCCCE's approved mining plan for underground mining and the new proposed federal lease. They do comment, I don't think that's in dispute, objecting to the environmental assessment. So why, in light of the full purpose of the environmental assessment on the very first page, why doesn't that constitute a comment that would have required no prompt notice of the permit?
Well, I think the requirements for prompt notice would be tied to their participating in the procedures outlined in Section 1263 and 1264. I think whether or not you can you could treat comments in a separate proceeding, in particular instances, would be a question to raise, when they pursued the administrative remedies, pursued that process, asked for an informal conference and explained that they qualify, to receive direct notice because they had participated in this related proceeding, but one that was distinct. I think that would
Maybe
their.
I'm yeah I'm sorry to talk over you, but and tell me if I but I just think we may be I think maybe my question was inartful. I'm asking why the comment to the environmental assessment didn't trigger your obligation to notify them. His response is, well, he can't ask for an informal conference or file some other objection if you haven't provided any other any notification that the permit for GCC has been approved. That's really what I'm trying to ask.
Well, I would say as to that, they do receive notice that the permit revision was under consideration and
Sure.
referred to his or to counsel's discussions with the agency in April of 2020, in September of 2020, in November of 2020. There's correspondence, and this is at Volume 6, App 117 through 123. There's correspondence with the agency about the permit revision application process. And so he was clearly on notice that there was this permit revision process underway, and they could have very easily requested the informal conference under Section 1263B, and that would have again entitled them to direct notice. It didn't need to wait for the actual approval to request that informal conference. Then
Why
the
would they need to ask for an informal conference if the comments regarding the environmental assessment that involved related comments for permit approval, why would they need to, that seems like belts and suspenders, why would they need to ask for an informal conference if they've already triggered OSMRE's duty to notify them of the permit approval for their
Well, I
comments
don't
to be
believe that
made?
they I don't believe that comments in a separate environmental assessment would automatically, under the statute, trigger the obligation
Okay.
for direct notice. I do agree that you could, the agency could consider whether or not this all the comments in an alternative procedure were relevant or were focused enough in order, I guess it would have excused their duty for kind of formal compliance under Section 1263A. But again, 1263A and 1263B are designed to provide the opportunity to comment on the permit revision application and to get additional information and to initiate the procedure or the administrative process. And it would have provided them with the direct notice they claim that they failed to receive. And then I think just to kind of close the loop on council's communications with agency, the December and January communications do not request any information relating to the permit revision. They request information relating to the mining plan approval document, which is again a separate approval that was considered. And so when they received the documents from the DOJ, those were in response to the request for the mining plan approval, and those are the documents that they received, even though at one point in time, they were seeking information about the permit revision approval.
One argument made by opposing counsel was that you're trying to switch the burden of persuasion on the exhaustion issue, that there might be some gaps in the record, but to the extent they're not filled, that's your problem, not his. How do you respond to that?
I would say that there are no relevant facts in dispute that this court would need to decide to determine whether or not the administrative process was complied with. I think the question about whether or not the failure to exhaust can be excused in this particular instance would have been a question that the agency could have addressed, that the district court could have considered in the first instance after the agency had an opportunity to address, and that this court would then have a basis for reviewing that. But I don't think that there's any dispute that they did not proceed through the administrative procedures outlined in Section 1263.
So you're saying that you have satisfied your burden of showing it wasn't exhausted, and then it's citizens' burden to explain why they could not exhaust. Is that the difference between the two of you, that they're saying you have the burden of showing they could exhaust, and you're saying they had the burden of showing why they could not have exhausted? Am I correct about that?
I would just maybe take a slightly narrower view on that. I think that I don't believe there is a factual dispute as to whether or not they complied with the administrative procedures to exhaust. That, I think, is they did not seek a formal conference, and so they weren't entitled to direct notice. They did not seek either within the 30-day period or outside of the 30-day period a formal hearing under Section 1264C. They simply claim that they were excused from that because of the lack of formal notice, which again, we say that they were not entitled to, and because they participated in related but distinct proceedings. I don't think that those satisfy, or I don't think that's a basis for saying that they exhausted administrative remedies. Yeah. It could be a basis for excusing noncompliance.
But you are saying that they had the burden on that issue. The burden of whether there's an excuse for failure to exhaust, you're saying is a citizen's burden to establish, as opposed to your having a burden to rebut that. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Maybe we'll hear later, but I think that's the nature of citizens' argument on this, but I'm probably missing something. Go ahead.
And I'll just briefly turn to the citizen suit argument. So we again think that the notice was defective. Citizen suit requires 60-day suit pre-notice. It requires notice of the provision that was allegedly violated and sufficient information to identify the act or omission that constitutes the violation. Citizens 2021 notice of intent suit did not claim that they failed to take enforcement action under 1268 or 1271. Instead, they argued that the Dunn Ranch approval violated the stream protection rule, which they themselves described as a fundamentally different regulatory regime. The guiding principle with the notice requirements is that it must give the alleged violator an opportunity to bring itself into compliance, and it must give them information about the specific violation alleged. It may not need to provide precise statutory citations, but at the very least, it needs to give them enough notice to correct their instance. And we don't believe that the notice here satisfied that standard. But even if it did suffice, in Citizens One, this court explained that a citizen suit provision operates only where the agency has essentially no choice. It can't be used to compel even partially discretionary decisions. And here, the statutory provision that they rely on, Section 1271A, requires a reason to believe that a violation exists. And that determination is at least a partially discretionary determination by the agency. And the agency never made that finding here. I see that my time is about to expire, but if there are no more questions, we will rest.
Judge Hartz, would you accommodate one question?
Oh, I guess so. I guess so. Will you accommodate his getting a chance to answer your question?
Of course.
Okay.
Counsel, let's assume for purposes of argument here that you are correct that the notice is insufficient into any insofar as any argument with respect to 1211, 1268, or 1271. What would your position be? What's left of this case if that is correct?
If that is correct, I believe there's nothing left of the case. I think that they failed to exhaust the ability to pursue their discretionary decision claims, and the only thing that would arguably be left would be non-discretionary claims that the citizen suit provision provides for. But I don't think that they provided the adequate notice for that. So this court should affirm.
Thank you, counsel. Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just some brief points. We heard a lot about Section 1263. That process was never available here because the objection period closed in March 2018, and that's on page 8 of our brief. And we didn't see the environmental assessment until July 2019. So what counsel is trying to do is create an impermeable process that no one can ever challenge. Section 1263 doesn't allow that. Also, the citation, when it says that our request wasn't sufficient, the regulation by the Department of the Interior says it would promptly respond to an or informal oral or written request for the date when the applicant received the decision. And that's on page 11 of, I believe it's our reply. So that's sufficient re of a request. I
Thank
see.
you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel excused. Case is submitted. The court will be in recess until 10:50 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. 10-minute break. Did you have a question, Judge Bacharach? Oh, I'm sorry. You
You're
need to turn on
muted.
your mic.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Judge. Mr. Pettinato, I am intrigued by that argument in your reply. My only question is, and I'm not suggesting it is or isn't fatal, but did you present that? Did you preserve that argument?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, which argument are you
The
referring to?
argument in the reply, I think on page 11, that the Interior Department committed itself to promptly respond to informal requests. That was in your reply. But so I the your adversary never got a chance to respond to that. So I'm just asking, was that preserved?
Well, we believe we were responding to their argument. We think that we raised the issue of notice early and we just identified an additional authority.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks,
Thank
Judge.
you, Your Honor.
Shall I try again? And excuse counsel. Case is submitted, and we'll still be back at 10:50 a.m. Thank you.